Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the No Ceilings NBA Draft Show. We are live here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel, and we will be on your podcast player of choice, those who are live or tuning in on a Tuesday evening. And we have a fun show lined up. You know, typically here at No Ceilings, we do a lot of scouting. We talk about players and stuff like that. But we could be so draft focused that we can kind of lose sight of the things that are going on within college basketball at large. And so I feel like I watch a lot of college basketball. A lot of us at No Ceilings do as well. But if we're going to have a college basketball show, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, is there anybody else that you would rather have on a show to talk college basketball than today's guest? He is the host of the Blue Blooded Podcast. He has been everywhere, traveling the nation, has his ears to the ground, scouring for intel around college basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ryan Hammer. Ryan, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, I got to be honest, that might be the kindest and best intro I have ever gotten on a show. So I very much appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. I feel the same about y'all at No Ceilings. Like I said before the show, it's my first time on No Ceilings pod. So I'm excited to be here. So,
yeah, man. And so since I nailed the intro, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to end the show now before I'm just kidding. But like I said, we have a very fun show lined up this evening. Ryan, I texted you, hit you up with a couple ideas, and we landed today on doing a most interesting things draft today. So the way that this is going to work is that, Ryan, I told you I'm going to come up with my own 10 independent stories that I think are important throughout the college basketball season. You have brought your own list as well, and we're just going to draft the 10. Maybe at the end of the show, we'll just hit the headlines real quick. We don't got to dive in anything too deep, but I think that this is going to be a good show, Ryan, because, you know, we focus so much on the draft, like I said earlier, that we can lose the forest for the trees. And I wanted to bring you in just to kind of let everybody who is ramping up to watch college basketball, which by this time the show is released on podcast form, is only going to be a couple days away. So, Ryan, since you were the honorable guest, Do you want to draft first or do you want to defer?
I'm a defer. That's what they do in the NFL, even though I don't fully trust the approach, but I'm gonna defer. I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, since you're making me go first, we're going to go snake draft and you're going to go two takes in a row, if that's okay with you, sir.
Fine.
All right. So, Ryan, I think the most important storyline in college basketball, and you can call this crazy because I have a draft-centric brain, I think it's going to be Darren Peterson's one-year campaign with the University of Kansas. I just think that this guy is so electric. He's already captivated our attention with the exhibition match at Louisville, where he dropped 26 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 5 steals, shot 9 of 15 from the floor. He was 6 of 10 from deep, only 2 of 5 from the free throw line, but that'll be okay. I just think that dropping him into Bill Self's team, Ryan, and I'm going to let you just kind of wax poetic on this because you're going to do a way better job than I ever could. I just think that putting a Ferrari in Bill Self's garage like this is going to be so interesting to see how he manages that with the other players who were talented, but Kansas is not loaded like some of the other blue blooded pot or, you know, shows out there, brother. You see what I did? That Freudian slip right there. But what do you think, man? Darren Peterson, the 1 year campaign with Kansas.
Yeah. I mean, y'all have been watching him for just as long as I have, if not longer. Like, you understand how elite this kid is. Watching him in one half of an exhibition game, the entire country understands how good this kid is. He really is like that. I've been comparing what I think his season will be to what Cade Cunningham's was back in 2021 with Oklahoma State. Big 12, do it all, big guard, wing, can score. I think Cade is a better and more of a playmaker and was at the time also than Darren is, and Darren's more of a better scorer, but similar in terms of usage and the type of team, a type of conference. I do think Kansas's supporting cast is a little better than Oklahoma State's was in that year, but you kind of hit it where, like, the Ferrari and Bill Self, the freshman Ferrari, you can call him, Bill Self and Kansas haven't relied on one freshman like this in a while, since, like, basically like Andrew Wiggins, and even Andrew Wiggins' team was loaded around him. So it's maybe a first ever for Bill Self. They've been running through Dewan Harris, Frank Mason, Devontae Graham, all these experienced guards for so long that it'll be interesting to see kind of where Darren could take them, because ultimately their season will go as far as Darren wants them to go. Like I said, I like the supporting cast a decent amount. I know you guys know about Flory Badunga a lot. I think he's going to have a huge breakout season. Melvin Council coming in is like this. I call him like a DeJounte Murray type guard. He's tenacious, lanky, good defender. He can get downhill, good mid-range shooter. And they have a couple other guys around him. Cole Rosario is like their Christian Brown and stuff. So if Darren can be as elite as we want him to be, and like he was versus Louisville, why can't they be a top 5 to 10 team in the country? Because he's that good. So I'm on board with Kansas being better than people expect because of how good he is. So I'm with
him. Okay. I mean, so that's one of the top storylines to me in here. There's a little sub story though that I want to talk to you about, Ryan, because I think that Bryson Tiller is kind of like an underlying gem on this squad. I mean, before he got injured with the Overtime Elite, I've watched him a few times. A few of us at No Ceilings watched him prior to college. Before injury, a lot of people considered him to be close to like a top 25 prospect. Hurts his injury, requires surgery, red shirts. Now he's coming back. And then I watched that exhibition, and trust me, I get why everyone's eyes were all over Darren Peterson in that game. But some of us at No Ceilings, dude, like, I was like, I can't rank him on a board right now until I see what he looks like post-surgery. And then I start watching him, and he didn't blow me away on the offensive end, even though he did drop, I believe, 12 points. But what stood out to me was the defense. There were a few times whenever he was standing tall, weak side rim protection, went up to block a shot. He stepped out and defended Mykel Brown Jr. on the perimeter and kind of forced him to dribble off of his foot. For whatever reason, Ryan, Louisville kept trying to throw over the top of the defense while he was out there. And I counted 3 times that he either tipped the ball out of bounds, tipped it to a teammate, or just outright intercepted it and drove down for a transition bucket. Do you think that Tiller, you know, even though he's redshirted, he will also be kind of a freshman, do you think that he could be like one of the more interesting, what I would call like an A to B prospect, like from the start of the season to the end, could be one of the biggest risers and makes a name for himself?
Yeah, for sure. I think these are the type of guys that, yeah, like the forgotten guys are the ones that end up being those type of dudes where people had kind of had him in the back of their mind, like consideration. It wasn't like he was this crazy top prospect where you're like, for sure, you know everything you get with him. So I think because of that, it was easy to forget about him. And they're going to need dudes to step up. And I think Bill Self will try out so many different rotations and so many different wings, especially. So I think he's going to have that opportunity for sure.
Okay, right on. All right, so Ryan, you are up now on the clock. We don't have a time limit, but it's just fun to say that you're on the clock, right? You are up, sir, and you have 2 picks in a row. So still a lot of meat left on the storyline bone here. Where are you going to go?
Of course. First one I'm going to go with is the Houston Cougars. Houston win a national championship? Because if there was a year to win, and I could say the same thing with Purdue. I'd feel like, well, let's put them together, honestly, and say Houston and Purdue, the ones that are due. That's a bar right there. I didn't even think about that. That's crazy.
Let's go.
Both of them, if they were ever going to win a title, this is the year for both of them. Purdue returning almost more than anybody in the entire country. Obviously, Braden Smith, TKR, Fletcher Lawyer. They add Omar Meyer. They add Oscar Clough from South Dakota State. They have CJ Cox and Jakari Harris. Like, their team is loaded. They have a potential National Player of the Year candidate. They should have an amazing offense. They play in a great conference. Everything is perfectly set up for them to win. Houston, similarly, lost a heartbreaker in the national championship game last year. They're one of the best teams in the country every single year. Kelvin Sampson is as good of a basketball coach as you will find on any level in the entire world. He's that good. Their defense is also incredible. The slower pace style is unique. So if they're ever going to win with that, it's going to be this year because their team is just as good as Purdue and anybody else in the country. So those two teams to me are the two best teams in the country, but they're both so overdue at this point for a national championship, it feels like. So if either of them is going to win it, it's this year. Maybe it's neither of them. Maybe it's them in the finals. Who knows?
So this is interesting, and this is why I think this makes for such a good show. Neither one of those teams made my top 10 list on my most interesting stories. And again, I think it's because it's draft brain. And with that being said, Ryan, let's talk about Houston. Let's dive into them a little bit deeper. JoJo Tugler, obviously one of, if not the best interior defenders in all of college basketball. I mean, if you look at any of his stats, you know, those who go to Bartorvik and just kind of like see where he kind of compares favorably to players who have kind of come before him, he's like top 10 in a lot of stats. And if he's not, a lot of guys who ranked ahead of him are like out of college basketball now, right? So, right. And then you've got Milos Uzon, who kind of flirted with some NBA considerations, opted to come back. So you got the upperclassmen there. You got some other senior pieces, but now you're introducing Isaiah Harwell and Chris Sinak, some of these young freshmen. And there's a lot of people who kind of, and I'll raise my hand. Hi, I'm a lot of people. A lot of people are kind of wondering how Chris Sinak is going to acclimate to a system that's as hard-nosed and rigid as what the Houston Cougars typically employ. It could kind of teeter either way. Either this is going to make him a more well-rounded prospect, mm-hmm. or it might be so hard that he doesn't really kind of demonstrate the potential that a lot of people expect to see him have in his first year, Ryan. So what do you think of kind of the mismatch between the senior personnel that are on Houston as well as like this incoming freshman group?
Yeah, it's rare for Houston to rely on freshmen like that. I'll throw in Kingston Flemings also because yeah. I think like I realistically all three of them to me, if Houston recruits a guy, they're built for Houston. It's that simple, especially elite freshmen, because they really all have only had Jairus Walker as such an elite freshman in this regime in the last few years. So they're going after three of them. I think it's all with good reason. All three of them fit what they want to do. Isaiah Harwell is like one of the better 3-and-D sniper wing shooters in the draft, in the class, in the country, etc. Kingston Flemings is one of those dudes who I think if he stays long down the line, he'll be the experienced Houston guard that Jamal Shedd was, that Marcus Sasser was, that Milos Uzon is probably going to be this year. Like LJ Cryer, like he'll be that dude. He's built for the program. And Chris, I think, is a monster. Back to JoJo Tugler, too.
Yes.
I do a little bit of draft stuff too. Nothing like you guys for sure. But JoJo Tugler to me last year, I'm thinking like, how is this dude not getting more love on NBA radars, NBA teams? Like the way that Ryan Dunn's offensive progression has kind of came along so fast in the NBA and guys that are non-shooters effectively, why not JoJo Tugler? Like you're not going to find a better defender in the entire country. He's switchable. He's strong. He's an NBA athlete. Like he's everything you want in a utility like rotational forward and kind of role player like that, like elite role player. So I love JoJo Tugler. I think him and Chris balancing each other out will be great. I cannot imagine having to go up against that front court and trying to drive through the lane and seeing those two brick walls in front of me. I'd be like, I am turning the other way and I'm running out of the building. So I think the freshmen are good. They're not typical freshmen. They're Houston freshmen. So,
okay, that's fair enough. And then for Purdue, I don't really see any of these players, you know, draft brain again, I'm sorry. This is just what we're dealing with. This is just what we're dealing with, folks. I don't really see anybody who really screams NBA talent on this team. I like Oscar Clough. I think he's kind of a theoretical big man, though. I think that he's going to need a little bit more seasoning playing like high-level college basketball. I like Braden Smith a lot. Like, there's no denying that he has like a computer processing brain there are people who think that he can kind of overcome that small guard stigma that exists so prevalently in the league. But you look at guys like, you know, Ryan Nembhard, who, even though he went undrafted, is already getting early playing time with the Dallas Mavericks, right? So you never want to say never there. But Omar Mayer, like, what is he bringing to this Purdue team? Because that's a big acquisition.
Yeah, someone, one of my friends that went to Purdue over the summer when he was playing, and I guess it was FIBA U19, called him Israeli Carson Edwards. And like, kind of similar like style in a way. I think it was more of like a fun play on words, but he's a fearless shot maker for sure and a shot taker. He can definitely light it up. He's a better playmaker, I think, and not as like ridiculous of a scorer, at least for now. But he's similar in a sense of that. He's kind of does a little bit of both. He's tenacious. I think long-term draft upside, it could be there. I think Braden definitely has a little bit of that this year, where you mentioned Ryan Nembhard is a great example. Cam Jones was bigger, but he's not like this super strong, big athlete or anything like that. Like guys like that, the older college guards always get overlooked. They always do, and they always look good in summer league, and they always look good early as a rookie. Like there's always a couple of them that happens. Braden Smith's inevitably going to be that guy because of how many elite freshmen there are. So I think he'll get drafted for sure this year. Or maybe he goes undrafted and he's like the Ryan Nembhard thing all over again. But I agree with you that there's not a ton of draft upside on the team. Maybe CJ Cox, Antoine West, Jakari Harris have like this crazy season that no one's really prepared for. But I'm with you for the most part there.
Okay. Well, Ryan, back on the clock. No rest for the wicked, my man. What do you got next for your second or your third most interesting story?
Yeah. See, I was thinking about the freshman before trying to like put the freshman class together, and I don't think that's very fair. I like how you went Darren Peterson right away. I agree. I'm going with the Arkansas freshman, Darius Acuff.
Woo pig, let's go.
I mean, are you an Arkansas guy?
I'm from Arkansas, sir.
I didn't know it.
Hey, we're getting to know each other here. That's okay.
Exactly. But Darius Acuff, Malik Thomas, like, I mean, those dudes are cold, straight up. Like, it, at some point, even as a scout, I know you guys do this, you watch certain players, especially young guys, this, and you go, you just sit back and enjoy. You say, wow, like, oh, okay, holy, like, we're just going to enjoy for a little while because they're super cold scoring guards, and Malik's more of a wing, I guess. But John Calipari's best teams at Kentucky were led by freshmen and freshman guards. The De'Aaron Fox teams, the Tyler Hero teams, the Emmanuel Quickley, Tyrese Maxey teams, like, they're going to Arkansas or Coach Cal's team to Arkansas, not Kentucky now. They're going to go back to that version of Cal's team. They return a lot of pieces with Trevin Brazil and DJ Wagner around them, so the team can be successful. But these two Arkansas freshmen are so good, especially Darius. Like, I'm so in on him being an All-American top 5 to 10 pick. I think he's that good. He is not a normal freshman. A lot of the freshmen this year aren't normal freshmen, but Darius is a top 5 freshman in this class to me. So I'm very, very excited to watch them play.
Well, first off, you know, again, Woo Pig Suey, Arkansas native here. I will say that, again, I did not have Arkansas on my top storylines. But again, this is why this is so fun. and truth be told, it might be like because I'm a fan of the Razorbacks, I kind of have to overcompensate my fandom. So I kind of pushed them down a little bit, even the freshmen. Like, I wasn't the biggest Malik Thomas fan on his film dive, nor was I the biggest Darius Acuff guy, but I'm watching what these guys are doing in these exhibitions against teams like Cincinnati. Just put the ever-loving clamps on that team. And you're right, dude. It's led by these freshmen. And I was curious to see how these guards were going to play so well off each other. But I think Malik Thomas kind of opens up so much for Darius Acuff to do. And you talked about Trevon Brazil, an upperclassman who can do really good things and has done good things, kind of battled with injury throughout his collegiate career. And then they bring in Malik Ewan over from Florida State. And I think that this allows Calipari to play a really unique five out system, because even though Malik Ewan is not necessarily a sniper from outside, you can run offense through him along the perimeter. And so I think that gives him unique looks. You know, they got our boy, Billy Cunningham. They got Carter Knox on the squad. Like, this could be a very fun Arkansas Razorback squad. So you said that you're in on Darius Acuff just as a player, like a top 10 player in the draft. What makes him so special to where you can just clearly see NBA level talent like right now, Ryan?
Yeah, I think it's the intellectual piece of it for a young freshman like that. I think Cam Boozer has that in him, the gamification, the intensity, and just like, I just call them gamers, basically. And Darius is all about, like, you can tell he's all about big moments. I think we've seen that a little bit in his past, too. He's all about big moments, taking those opportunities. He's fearless. Like, he's absolutely fearless. And I mentioned Cam. To be fair, AJ and Darren are like that also. AJ definitely is fearless, but in a sense that it feels like he's a vet. And those kind of freshmen, especially guards, I love. I love if as long as they're physically, the analytics, the data, the shot charts, everything kind of else makes sense, of course, especially when you're talking about top picks. And we'll see how his resume kind of goes throughout the year in his profile. But it's the intellectual piece and the thing where, almost like I said, the eye test and the gut test of like, okay, he's definitely that dude 100%.
Yeah, I feel like coming in, you know, we do preseason board. Everyone loves big boards. Everyone loves rankings. Everyone likes to tell you that your rankings are wrong, their rankings are right, and all these other things. I feel like I probably came in a little too low on Darius Acuff, but it's hard, as you know, Ryan, for smaller guards to really be thrusted up so highly in the draft that they got to be unique and special. And I feel like kind of what happened with Scoot Henderson might be kind of weighing against that position a lot moving forward. So we'll see which guard kind of breaks through that glass ceiling. It could be Darius Acuff, but Ryan, I'm going to go up with our fourth overall most interesting story and my second pick. Now, I will say that I listened to your SEC conference preview, and the team that I'm going with, I think this is going to make for a great segment, Ryan. You have Florida number one as your SEC team, and I totally get it. I'm struggling a little bit with Florida because they're going to look so different than what they looked like yet last year. I think whenever you consider that they lost three players to the NBA draft, Walter Clayton Jr. was drafted 18th overall. Elijah Martin, my guy, was drafted 39th overall. Will Richard was drafted 56, almost criminally now. It looks like that's going to be a mistake by the NBA, right? Then they lost Denzel Aberdeen and Sam Alexis to the transfer portal. I liked Sam Alexis, but when he was playing with Chattanooga, I thought that was going to be a good pick from Florida. Just a lot of talent. It's hard to feed so many players. And I get that they added Boogie Flynn and Xavier Lee, but when you look at what the guards did with Florida last year, as you well know, Ryan, they were two-way tilted. You know,
yes.
Walter Clayton Jr. was their offensive engine, but he played really good team defense. And then Elijah Martin was kind of like this pit bull bulldog. You put him on the other team's best perimeter player. He grew as a floor spacer. He's like an ancillary playmaker. Then Will Richard was like Danny Green last year. I kept saying like he could be this class's Danny Green. We're kind of seeing that where he's a little bit taller than those two guys, but not really a big wing necessarily, but spaced the floor and also played strong defense. And so you lose those guys, and now Thomas Hauck is sliding up to the three, and I get that that might be good for his development, but I thought it was just really nice that you had this kind of platoon of big men that you can kind of swap around with Ruben Chinyelu, Thomas Hauck, Alex Condon, and who am I missing?
Big Micah Hanglotten.
Big Micah Hanglotten. Yeah, thank you. So all of that being said, I just think that it's going to look so different that I'm kind of struggling with projecting them as a team. This is a college basketball take for me, not a draft take.
Yeah,
I just think that I'm struggling with their projection because they're going to look so different than what they looked like last year, Ryan.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. And people, there's an idea of like, oh, it could slump a little bit off national title and the expectations are too high, similar to what UConn was going into last year. Obviously, this same exact kind of thing. I see that for sure. I think the biggest thing with losing, first of all, you lose those three guards that are their best players last year. Like, they won them so many games and they won them the national championship. Walter Clayton is maybe the best closer in March history. He's not known for his defense, but game on the line, national championship, he made a defensive stop to win. Elijah and Will do all the dirty work, I feel like, all over the place. So I agree with you. It'll be a stylistic change in a way, because they're going to rely more on those bigs now that they were holding this much up and now they have to hold this much up. But their experience, they return the whole entire front court, which is great. Thomas Hauck's breakout, at least in some capacity as an offensive handler, is going to be big. Love the guards they're bringing in. Xavier's my guy from Princeton over here.
Love Xavier, yep.
Boogie's awesome from Arkansas, obviously, but it's different. They're not as good defensively. They're not as deep of a backcourt, even though A.J. Brown is there also following his brother who's there too. And I like A.J. Brown. He hasn't taken the leaps in the last couple of years. Obviously, yep. injury hasn't helped, but their backcourt isn't as dynamic as it was last year, obviously. I still don't want to doubt Todd Golden because I did at the beginning of last year. And I feel like, listen, that man knows how to coach up a system. He's so intelligent and advanced analytically. The way everything's intentional with them. Like, they brought in Boogie and Xavier, that's who they wanted, and they went and got them. So I wanted to put a little bit of faith in him and say, you know what? Because they're playing bigger, Thomas Howell can be that perimeter defender maybe, and they're still playing two bigs with the two guards who aren't known for their defending. So I go back and forth a little bit. Fully understand where you're coming from. At least to start the year, I'm just going to roll with them and be like, you know what? I'm not going to overthink it, at least. So,
and I get it, because sometimes, you know, different doesn't have to mean worse. Like, it's just going to look like a completely different style, in my opinion. I kind of like CJ Ingram, the freshman that they're bringing in. When I watch this film, like, oh, he could be really fun. I think he could sneakily be like a kind of like, he could be like the indicator almost, like, of how good this team is, in my opinion, because I think he brings like a positional need to the team a little bit. Like, maybe he comes in and spells Thomas Hauck a little bit along that perimeter. I think that Hauck is gonna be the main Florida guy, though, that is getting a lot of NBA buzz. What do you think about his projection to the league?
Yeah, I think last year, I'm surprised he didn't test waters at all, and he was just kind of rolling into it. Similar to like the Christian Brown type players that were like, they do all the dirty work, and how do you not want someone like that on your team? And he would have gotten drafted for sure. He probably would have went decently high, and the process would have been easy for him. He's big, he's athletic, he's intense, he's super personable, always positive, a light when he walks in everywhere. There's nothing not to like about him. Obviously his ceiling isn't like this crazy thing, but like Christian Brown, who just got a bag and just got paid. Yes. You don't need to be amazing, like, to be so high paid and so highly valuable in the NBA. So agree, definitely could be a first round pick this year, like CB was back in his days in Kansas. I think there's light for Condon as a hybrid, like, modern passing playmaking big a little bit, but don't know how big the upside is unless the shot is really like awesome and trustworthy. And then I think Boogie probably has some more NBA upside as well. Even though I know my boy Xavier gets a lot of love out there, I don't think he's going to be this like lottery, anything near a lottery pick or first round pick or anything. So,
yeah, I think it's just mainly the frame. Like, we want to see if he's going to show that he could hang in an NBA setting, like playing in the SEC, probably the most athletic conference in all of college basketball, is going to be the place for him to do it, Ryan. All right. So I'm up now with the fifth pick overall, my third take, and we are not going to travel very far. I'm going to pick Duke's depth. Okay. Is like the most interesting storyline coming in. And I'm just picking an order that I have here on my notes. I think the obvious name here is Cam Boozer. And then in the chat, the person's name is NJ. He said, hey, if somehow the Celtics land a top three pick, I want Cam Boozer. I do not blame you. I think that I was talking about this the other day, Ryan, with my co-host Jam. And I said, it's going to be kind of a funny problem to have, but could you imagine being an NBA team with the number one pick and having to look at Darren Peterson and Cam Boozer and saying, I want that guy, as opposed to the other guy? Like, let's just start there. How crazy is that conversation going to be?
Yeah. And I mean, with AJ in there also, like, to me,
yes,
all three of those guys are so different. So, so different. Cam is, I mean, as like Paolo, as all around of a player as you are going to find, and he hasn't turned 19 until July, which is crazy. I know he reclassed stuff, but like, it's insane to me. He's super young. Darren is like the Cade, do-it-all guard, big guard, can be that dude like Anthony Edwards a little bit also. And AJ is just like the modern KD type of crazy wing scores. And it's almost feels like if they are the quality that they are now, right? Say the season goes great for all three of them, you could draft for need if you're at number one for arguably the first time ever. Like, I don't think teams should ever do that. But like, if you have three guys who are all number one pick quality players, which is unlikely to happen. Like, one of them is going to outplay the other two, and versus, or two of them will want, like, they'll shake out a little bit. It's crazy. I can't imagine like having to do that. It's almost like the Celtics back in the, was it Jason Tatum? Like, having pick three is probably the best. You know, you're going to get one of them. Pick three is going to be great.
Yeah. And then you got, maybe you can, you know, lure the third pick team with the number one pick if you like one player better than consensus, and get some more talent out of it, a la the Jason Tatum trade. Yeah. But obviously Cam Boozer against UCF, you know, he had 33 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, was 12 of 19 from the floor, 4 of 7 from deep, 5 of 6. He followed that up with a very cool, calm 20 and 20 game in his second exhibition outing. It's just crazy. I actually kind of like his brother, though, Caden Boozer. Like, a lot of people are kind of all over the place in terms of the draft community. But I like him, too, because, you know, against UCF, he had 9 points, 5 assists, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 block, was 3 of 7 from the floor, 1 of 3 from deep, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. But every time I watched Columbus or, you know, any sort of outing where the Boozers were playing together, I obviously liked Cam, but I kept watching Caden, and I'm like, I think that this dude is just kind of being thought of as like little brother, so to speak. But he processes the game so well, in my opinion. Ron, what do you think of Caden coming in?
I love that you said this. Totally, totally with you. Could not be more in agreement with you.
Let's go.
Caleb Foster's great. He's the vet of the team. He's like their, you said, like little brother. He's like the big brother of the team, the dad of the team. I think he offers a high floor but a lower ceiling than Caden does, especially offensively. I think Caden's a better quality player talent-wise. It might take a little bit. Caden will probably come off the bench at least at first. By the end of the season, Caden will be playing starter minutes, if not starting, over Caleb Foster. And I think that's a testament to how good he is of a playmaker and how mature he is. And them being together and growing together, I think, has helped him mature, just like it's helped Cam, and because Cam's obviously mature way beyond his years. But totally with you. Caden's awesome. He looked great really early on. Something about these Duke freshmen that just always look mature early on. So I guess that is what it is.
It is, man. And I'm a big Nick Jimena fan as well. I think that there's a lot of skill. Obviously, I think the shot is going to be the skill that needs to stand out the most. But when you got a player who's got size and feel like Nicholas, I think that it's inevitable that you're looking at some sort of NBA player. The problem is like, what type? But how do you think a player like him fares in college basketball, playing in the ACC, complimenting the Boozers and complimenting Isaiah Evans and Pat and Big Pat in the paint?
I think it's great because you can be a complimentary piece and still be seen highly as draft stock. That's the glory of playing for Duke and the Brotherhood, especially when the team is good. They had 5 guys get drafted last year. Like, ask Sion James how that felt, him being looking like he should be playing in the NFL, first of all. And
yes,
being over, like, he's an old recruit, old, not like long player, and somehow he finds his way to get drafted to the NBA, fully deserved to, but he really should be like a tight end or like a linebacker or something in the NFL, but he probably couldn't make that switch if he wanted to. I think it fares well for him to be a complimentary piece, Nick, especially in the ACC, which they'll have games where they could just light it up on teams and they'll let guys like him kind of take over a little bit. And I fear a little bit for how good they are. And like you talk about, you said the depth. This is your piece here. Dame Sarr is awesome, right? Like, Cam is going to be great. Patton Gogman is going to play. If Malik Brown is healthy, he's going to play. Isaiah Evans, like, there's so many guys in the front court and on the wing that he'll get pushed out and phased out. Maybe not the entire season, but for spurts in certain games or full games, like, it's going to happen. And that's not what you love to see, but he's going to have, it's outweighed by the opportunity you have playing for Duke, playing in the ACC. So I wouldn't worry, but I see the opportunity for him for sure.
So let's talk about just Duke real quick before we move on to your pick, Ryan, just as a college basketball team. Like, I see that you've already dropped your preseason trapezoid of excellence. There are a few teams that are in there that are familiar faces. How do you project Duke kind of utilizing this embarrassment of riches throughout the year?
It really is. It's funny that you brought this up because, like, my next pick was going to be Duke's non-freshman. So it's basically the same thing, the depth. So we're on the same page here. Their season is going to be reliant not on their best player, Cam Boozer. It's going to be reliant on, I mentioned Caleb Foster, but Patton Gogba, Isaiah Evans are the two big ones for me. And Malik Brown's health, of course, great defender. Isaiah and Pat have to break out. For them to be as good as they want to be and as good as they should be and probably will be, they have to break out for sure. I fully believe in both of them, especially Slim, Isaiah Evans. And I think they're both draft prospects too. I think Isaiah definitely is, but I think Duke's really good. Like you said, they're wealthy beyond their wildest belief with depth and talent all over the place. They're going to be great. John Shire's system is awesome. They probably should have won the national title last year. So they're out for revenge this year, and they have guys from that team. So nothing not to like about Duke, really. And it's just a matter of, can they get it done this year?
And I think my No Ceilings family would be upset if I didn't ask about this player in particular. What are your expectations for Darren Harris on this team?
Man, he's another guy. I'm like, is he going to get the PT that everyone wants him to be? Like, he's great. He's an awesome player, a sniper. Yeah. He's fun to watch, fun to root for. I love that he stayed there too. Like, you don't get that often where Darren Harris could go to 90% of other ACC teams and probably average 15 a game. Like, he could be the dude. I respect him for staying at Duke. I didn't fully expect it, but that's what Duke does, the Brotherhood. I like him a lot. I want him to play a lot. I don't know if he's going to play a lot because, like I said, Caden and Caleb Foster, you have Isaiah Evans. Like, he's going to get minutes in some capacity, but how much is he going to get, especially if those other three guards are as good as they seem to be? So,
okay, totally fair. All right, so Ryan, you're up with our sixth pick overall in the Most Interesting Things draft. Let's take one quick moment here, and we will hit a break, and then we will be right back to continue.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, we are right back from that quick break doing the Most Interesting Things draft with Blue Blooded podcast's own Ryan Hammer. And Ryan, you're on the clock, my man. Where are you taking us with the sixth pick?
Yeah, I could go a lot of ways. I think a big story in college basketball this year is the potential rematches that we saw from March. Ooh. Last year. So obviously the best teams in the country were winning last year. The big names, big brands, big schools, the high seeds, all chalk. A lot of those teams are good again. So I wrote down a few of the matchups that are amongst the top teams in the country that could end up being Final Four, national title, Elite Eight type games. Florida versus Houston, obviously in the national championship game. Houston versus Purdue on the crazy inbounds pass, boomerang pass real fast. I think it was back to Milo Suzan from JoJo Tugler in the Sweet 16. Florida versus Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. Texas Tech versus Arkansas in the Sweet 16 when Arkansas, the 10 seed, probably should have won. Arkansas versus St. John's. Yeah, Arkansas versus St. John's in the round of 32 as a 10 over a 2. And then even like Arizona played Duke, I think, in the Sweet 16. Arizona should be really good, and Duke's obviously going to be great. But it really is, I guess we'll call it, what region was that? I think it was the West region in the bottom left of the bracket. All those teams came from the bottom left of the bracket. Florida, or not Houston, but Florida, Texas Tech, Arkansas, St. John's, throw in Houston with a national championship game. So I'm looking at all those teams to, as potential rematches in March later on in the year in the Sweet 16 and maybe even in the Final Four. And I think that makes for an even juicier storyline later down the line in April. So
I think so too. And what I would hate is if we get these, and this again, draft brain, I have to keep saying it. I would hate if one region was so populated with NBA talent to where like it would just continue to get knocked off. I feel like we see this almost every season where someone who has high draft aspirations gets knocked out, and we kind of have to keep revisiting that film to keep them relevant in our head. But it does make for fun college basketball games. So Ryan, I want to ask you, since we're on this topic, you've released your Trapezoid of Excellence. Were there any surprises in your Trapezoid of Excellence that kind of came up, or is there someone that you're thinking is going to kind of like flip over the apple cart, so to speak?
Yeah, the Trapezoid, the preseason one is very, it's ambiguous, and it's
sure
major grain of salt. The first time I've ever done a preseason one, but it goes off KenPom projections. Now, projections, a lot's going to change like that, right? And within a week or two,
it's like our first big board, right? Yeah, like, don't hold us accountable for that. Come on.
Right. Darren Harris could be number 20 right now, and then all of a sudden he's not playing in game one. You're like, oh my God. But it's the same thing with the Trapezoid. Like, I do it because it's interesting to look at. I want to look at it later in the year. I'm intrigued to see Florida. KenPom has Florida playing super fast this year. I don't think they're going to play that fast. They were more towards the middle last year, so I don't think they'll be going that fast. And Kentucky, who's usually pretty far out of it because they're too fast and they're not good enough at that speed, they're dangerously close to start the season at least. So I wonder if they're going to be able to play at a high enough level at their tempo and style to be able to get in there. And I think a lot of that relies on their defense, but those two teams for sure.
Okay, those are very fun picks. Ryan, you're up again, snake draft style, with our seventh pick in the most interesting things draft.
Yeah, I mentioned Kentucky. I'm going with the $22 million roster that everyone seems to be talking about.
Had them in my notes.
My God, is it a good team? Like, people have been talking about Kentucky's roster, $22 million, like it's a negative thing, right? Which, sure, I understand the basis of college basketball, and you don't want to see teams spending that much money on college athletes. But Kentucky fans, if you're listening out there, look at it as a good thing. Be like, yes, we have a $22 million roster, and they're going to kick your ass every single night, no matter what. Like, Otego Way could be the best scorer in the entire country. Jaden Quaintance, when healthy, is the best shot blocker in the entire country. You return Brandon Garrison. Jalen Lowe is the best player from Pitt last year. Jasper Johnson, local freshman, who I think is the next great Kentucky guard. Denzel Aberdeen from inside the conference from the national champions. Like, you literally stole someone from a national championship squad who was probably going to start this year if he stayed there, which is crazy. Mo Diabate from inside the SEC. Like, their team is so, so good. They address their needs of defensive, of the interior presence and overall defensive presence. Cam Williams also from Tulane that I absolutely love and I think is an NBA guy. But they address their needs, their defensive needs all over the place. Mark Pope is a great coach. He has never had a good defense at Utah Valley, at Kentucky, at BYU. So it'll be interesting to see, even with the pieces on paper, and they did look good against Purdue, but it was an exhibition game, if their defense can be good enough for them to win a national championship. I still have some doubts if their style will be able to do that. But my God, is this roster good? They are so good.
Yeah, I just thought of a tagline that Kentucky can use. I'm probably not clever enough to ever be the only person to say this, but like, money can't buy you happiness, Ryan, but it could probably buy you a national title, you know? Like, there you go. That could be the sales pitch.
Well said. I like it.
I appreciate it. I'm glad that you brought up Kentucky, because I had them kind of towards the back of my 10 things list, but this gives me an opportunity to ask you this question. What do you think of like their big man situation? Because you talked about Jaden Quaintance being on this team, but he's probably not coming back until like the December time frame. He hasn't participated, obviously, in exhibitions or team games. Coming back from ACL surgery, we've heard promises from Kentucky that he will be coming back this year. But does that sound familiar, Ryan? Not that we've ever seen like Enes Kanter or Shaedon Sharpe give us any sort of will they, won't they storylines or anything like that. But between Mo Diabate, who you mentioned was a stud at Alabama, they bring in Andrija Jelovic coming over from Mega to play for the Cats. Brandon Garrison, you know, once upon a time played at Oklahoma State. Now he's with Kentucky. And then they added the young big Malachi Moreno, who a lot of people have fans of. He's got some fun little passing flashes, very polished game. He kind of fits this Coach Pope system really well, in my opinion. They're typically out there, you know, they are absolutely outfitted with guards on this team. They got a couple wings, but I think the big man spot is going to be the most interesting thing to watch in particular with their team, Ryan.
Yeah, it's going to be what makes or breaks them for sure, because you mentioned guys like Cam Williams, who's a great defender, and Denzel Aberdeen, who's a good defender. It'll help them being able to defend on the perimeter, but they got killed in the interior last year. I think they were, if I remember correctly, like 346th in the entire country in opponent two-point percentage at like 57%. That is awful. That is so, so bad. They were last in the country at forcing non-steal turnovers. They didn't have a lot of steals either. Like, their team is not good, especially inside. They let way too much come into the lane. So having guys on the outside helps, but having guys like Jane Quaintance and Modi Abate in the front court interior presence is going to be huge for them. And they got the guys they needed to contend for a national title like those do. We'll see if it can happen. Quaintance's health is obviously a massive thing. Even when he comes back, is he going to be healthy the rest of the year? I feel like I'm playing fantasy football and I'm like praying Bucky Irving is coming back this week. I'm like, please, Jaden Quaintance, come back. I like everybody else.
Sounds very specific, Ryan. Yeah.
I'm a big Bucky Irving guy. That's a side note. But Jaden Quaintance is awesome. Like I said, the best shot blocker in the country, and interior defender in the country when he's healthy, maybe next to JoJo Tucker or whatever. But like, he's so, so good. If he's healthy, he has to start. He's looked good from what I've seen and what I've heard, at least inside the program. I've seen clips of him throwing down mean dunks in practice and getting up there. Like, he looks fine to me, but I'm not a medical expert. So
who's to say, right? You never can tell with these things. And again, I'm curious, right? From a draft perspective, I'm very curious to see if the way that this class plays out as it kind of like solidifies and sifts out, sorts out, if we don't start hearing about JQ, maybe just saying right now I'm ranked so high on these boards, maybe I just hold out. Do you think there's any possibility of that?
Always a possibility. And like you said, has Kentucky ever done that before? Like, I don't know if I remember so. That correctly. Yeah, no, definitely not.
Can someone Google that for us, please? Hey, producers in the back.
He's going to need a damn good agent to take care of that. And there are good agents out there that can make that happen. I don't doubt that. I think in this class, it won't be as easy. It won't be easy to do that in this class. I don't think he will do that. But man, he looked good last year when he played, and we know what he get from him. It'd be a crazy – and I think because he's a big is why even less of a chance of doing that. Where Shaedon Sharpe, he was fully healthy. You know what you get from him. He's fully good to go. He's an explosive guard. A big that has injury-prone history is even more alarming than a guard that might in the past of any sort. So I think that would be even less, would add to the even lesser reason why he might do that. Could he do it? Of course he could, but I don't think he will if I had to say now.
Okay. All right. So if he does, everybody remember that.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Ryan's there we go. Here we go. All right. So Ryan, I'm a bad host because I can't remember if that was your first pick of the snake coming to you or the second.
I wrote it down. That was my 4th pick. So I did 2-3, or where I did, I guess that was my 4th pick overall. So I did both snake picks. Yes. So you're up.
Okay. I'm glad that you're keeping up with this because I'm not. But yeah. What we're going to do, we're going to take this last break real quick, and then we'll finish strong with picks 8-10. And then we will empty the chamber of the other takes that we had. We don't got to dive in too deep, but we'll mention what they were. All right. Hang tight. We'll hit this break and we'll be right back.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way,
so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
All right, we are back on the Most Interesting Things draft here on the No Ceilings NBA Draft Show with the blue-blooded podcast host, Ryan Hammer. Ryan, I'm on the clock this time coming back from the break, and I'm going to go with another team who I have questions more so schematically, and some of those issues came up during their exhibition game. We talked about Kansas earlier. Lopsided Louisville is kind of where I think the most interesting storyline is coming in. They were ranked, I believe, 11th in the nation going into that exhibition. I don't imagine the exhibition shape rankings. I don't know how this works. I feel like exhibitions are becoming the most more prominent than ever.
It's crazy. It makes no sense to me. They should not affect anyone's rankings, but they don't affect the AP poll for what it's worth. So.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I think basketball is we've seen it with all kinds of things. I don't mean to sidebar here, but with NIL, eligibility, transfer portal, all this stuff, there's just a lot going on that I don't know what's what anymore. That's why I just stick to the draft and watch tape. But Ryan, lopsided Louisville, they've added a ton of guard depth this year. They got Mychal Brown Jr., largely considered a top five, if not top four pick. Questions about, is he guaranteed starter and closer on this team, in my opinion? Ryan Conwell, who I think is one of the most underrated transfers in the entire college basketball landscape right now, coming in from Xavier, looked like he was going to be the offensive emphasis in that matchup that we just saw with them versus Kansas. Adrian Woolley coming in from Kennesaw State, 8 points on 7 shots in that game. It's obvious that he's going to be adjusting, growing acclimated to the uptick in competition. They got Isaac McNeely, a guy who I really liked at Virginia. Is he just going to be relegated to be a floor spacer? You got Javon Hatt. Like, there are a number of players on this team that can play the perimeter, but I'm kind of curious, Ryan, what do you make of their front court depth? Because they got Keshawn Pryor, Ali Khalifa. What do you make of this?
It's going to be their downfall at some point. Even if they play well for majority of the year, it's going to be their downfall. The guards are ridiculous. I have written down Louisville backcourt because how far can they take
them?
Let's
go.
Because I don't know what you're getting out of the front court. Sananda Frew is the one guy I think that is probably the X factor. And like, can he be a reliable big now that they lost James Scott to Ole Miss, who was a pivotal piece for them? Ali Khalifa was fun. Love him. But he is not a good defender at all. He's a great playmaker and he's fun. That's not what they need all the time. He'll play spurt minutes and spot minutes here and there, but they need a guy like Sananda Frew. Javon Hadley's going to play a lot of like small ball four a lot, which he did last year. But again, it was their downfall last year. Also, Kayson Pryor being healthy is huge. He had a really strong start to the year in whatever tournament they were playing in Bahamar or whatever last year. But like him a lot. He's athletic, slightly undersized, I think, but he's a great athlete. So if they can get enough out of their front court players, they can be a top 10 team in the country all year. But I think because they probably won't be amazing there and defensively, they'll ebb and flow and they'll go through streaks depending on how the guards are playing. So luckily they have a wealthy riches of guards. So
that's right. So, but with that, what do you think the starting lineup is going to look like? Like, do you think that they go with a 3-guard rotation? Like, if you're coaching this team, what's the best way to utilize this talent, Ryan?
Yeah, on paper, obviously Mychal is starting. Obviously, Ryan Conwell started. That man can put up 40 a game like it's nothing. I start Isaac McNeely also. If you're starting, you definitely start three guards. You put your best players on the court the most you possibly can in any way, shape, or form. I want Adrian Woolley to be the offensive spark off the bench. Isaac McNeely is the best defender of their entire backcourt. He's a great 3-and-D player. He comes from Virginia, so that makes sense. So I think he can play three and play up in size a little bit because of that. So I think he's a pivotal piece for them defensively to bring their upside up, to be that perimeter elite defender. From there, probably Frew at the five, and then maybe Javon Hadley at the four or something of the sort. And I think everybody else has to come off the bench the way it is. I think you need Javon to start. Maybe Pryor finds his way into the starting lineup at some point, but Javon is like their vet. He's been there. He's their guy. He's their leader. So, or you know what I mean by like big brother leader and stuff like that. So that's probably the five I would go with, but I'm also not there in practice, so I can tell you.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. If there's anybody who knows what's going on in practice, it's got to be you, brother. All right. I'll transition now to my last pick, our ninth pick overall here on the show. Ryan, I hope I'm doing you proud on this one because these aren't guys who I necessarily value super duper high on my draft board. But if I'm looking at a team, I just think I hope that you like this comparison too, man. Like, I don't know how old you are, but I hope you remember this team. I think that Texas Tech's trio of JT Toppin, Christian Anderson, and LaJuan Watts are like college basketball's version of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, and John Lynch. I hope that like at every level of offense and defense on this team, that these guys can essentially be one of the best at their respective positions and can propel Texas Tech, not against Arkansas, but against any other team, to college basketball, you know, March Madness prominence. What do you think of that little comparison, that cross-sport comparison, Ryan?
I see it a little bit. I know who they are, especially Warren Sapp, of course. I'm old enough to remember them. I don't remember the deep understanding and study of it, but I understand the vision of that, especially defensive end and going kind of both ways. And I'm happy you mentioned LaJuan Watts because he is an absolute demon. I've seen you guys talk about him on the channel, and I'm very, very happy and proud to see that because he is going to be the Darian Williams of this year, except he's a better defender. He's not as natural of a playmaker, but he's a good playmaker and he's a much better athlete. He's stronger.
Shooter.
He offers a much different skill set than Darian, but he'll play a similar role to Darian as like the number two or three at times on the wing, jumbo playmaker at times. And he is awesome. He's so, so good. So I'm so happy you kind of brought them up as a trio because as a duo, they're one of the best in the country. And as a trio, they're also one of the best in the country. So
we have a lot of people who love Christian Anderson. He had a lot of, hype coming in out of like the Europe play this year. He closed on a heater and JT Toppin. I mean, what are the odds of player of the year for him, Ryan, like in your opinion?
If you had to put anything, you'd probably put it at like 20% Braden Smith, 20% JT Toppin, 20% freshman, and then 40% someone else or something like that. I can do the math like that or 30, 30, 30. 10% anybody else. So I'd put it at almost a third, I'd say.
Okay. And how did Texas Tech grade out on your preseason trapezoid of excellence?
They were close up there. I put my Power 30 rankings out today, actually, which they were even higher on. I love Texas Tech. I'm massively high on them. I have them at number five in the country to start the season.
Wow.
I think Christian Anderson is my guy right there. I'm all in. Love him. Big breakout coming. He looks so good for Germany. Not only in the under-19s, but with the first team and the Wagner brothers also. So love him. Love what they have to offer. They're going to be one of the best teams in the country and in the Big 12 this year, so I'm super excited to watch them.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that LaJuan Watts can be like that next, former Washington State guy to make his way to the NBA. He'd probably play with the Memphis Grizzlies with what recent history tells us in that respect, brother. All right, so Ryan, you're closing us out strong. You got the last pick. 10 of 10 here on the most interesting things draft. Where are we going with the last pick?
Have to go with the international guys. And I know that's a draft.
Okay.
That's a big one for the draft community also, because the first year they're allowing all these professional players to come in from all over the place. There's probably, I had a running list at one point. I was keeping a list to make a chart. and then it got too big. And then
yeah, bless your heart, dude. Yeah.
It got to, I have 21 of them written down, and then they kept going, and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So, but the amount of them that are so good, I think are going to be massive for the NBA draft as well as college basketball. And the bigger generalistic question I have is like, how are they going to translate, especially athletically and defensively, where a lot of them are like, they take after Luka Doncic. They honestly do, where they're these bigger, slower playmakers that play at their own pace. They're not super athletic, but like Nicolas Abdalas at Virginia Tech, I think is amazing. I think he can be a lottery pick. Luka Bogovac at North Carolina is very good. The Illinois duo the entire roster basically, but the Illinois
East European
duo,
Illinois, yeah.
The Balkan block, as I like to call them.
There we go.
Mialo Petrovic and David Mirkovic look awesome. Like, there are so many highly talented international recruits and pros coming into college. So they will tell a big story this year. Either, wow, a lot of these guys suck and it wasn't worth what they put into it because they can't translate to this game so easily. Or it's going to be like, wow, they kicked everybody's ass and we need to look more into this if they're going to allow us to do this. And if that's going to happen, then a lot of them will get drafted and be high on radars also. So,
all right. So talk to me about Nicolas Abdalas, because I'll be open and honest with you. Kind of struggle with him, like as an NBA player. I think he's going to be really, really fun in college. I get the jumbo creator stuff. I really do. But what are you kind of hearing? What's the vibe around him coming to Virginia Tech?
The vibe's high because I see I'll play devil's advocate. I understand the limits to his game athletically, defensively, but the ability for him to be the dude for a rising team in the ACC against Duke and Carolina and on like massive stages, and they should be a tournament team this year. They're much, much improved, is a huge piece for him in terms of, I don't want to say agenda, but like narratives kind of on like, oh, wow, he's really frying these really good teams. So I've seen him before. He's 6'9". He is like, he feels like he's like 9 feet tall, honestly. Even when you
he's
go
huge.
Like, watch their clips too. Like, just go watch Virginia Tech basketball clips. He looks like he's Wembanyama out there. It feels like that at times, but he's legitimately huge. He's a great handler for his size. He's so natural on the ball and as a playmaker and scorer and just offensive threat, that I see the NBA upside. I also understand the limitations. Now, if he can be at his ceiling this year, I'll try to sell you. If he can be at his ceiling offensively and Virginia Tech can be a good, dangerous tournament team, scouts and teams will push the concerns aside and say, we have something special here. So,
okay. Yeah. And I'm hopeful, man. Like, I mean, you know us here at No Ceilings. We're rooting for everybody. We have concerns, but we leave the door open because people prove us wrong all the time. All right. So, Ryan, that closed out the top 10 draft. This was fun because I got to feel like Zach Lowe or Ben Simmons for a second, where I'm like, I had that one on my list. You know, like that's the tagline that you love to hear in these types of shows. Let's just take a quick second, Ryan. We don't got to dive in too deep, but I'm going to give you the takes that are on the threshing floor for me, so to speak. My first one, Arizona letting the kids play, kind of similar to the Bill Self thing where you have, you know, Koa Pete, Braden Burries, Dwayne Aristode, you know, a lot of us like him a lot. Mm. They might all play sizable roles for the team. The next one that I have, Iowa versus the world. Now, I know you recently interviewed Bennett Sturts, and I have a lot of hope, love, and respect for him. He is well within my top 10, and I love me some Alvaro Figueres. I think those two together could be the best duo in all of college basketball. And then what do I have? I have one more that was not mentioned. The last one is, will Auburn be all right with the coaching change that happened so close to the beginning of the year? And then the whole, is Tahad Pettiford and Keyshawn Hall staying with this team? I'm just curious to see if all of that uncertainty, how that unfolds within the college basketball seasons. Ryan, of those three, like which one do you kind of like dig the most?
Let's roll with my boy Bennett Sturts in Iowa. Come on now.
Like, let's go.
That's the guy right there. It's my dog. I'm happy to hear you have top 10. I mean, the people that don't think he's an NBA player, it's crazy to me. Like, he's so, so good. He's done it at every level, and he's going to do it again in the Big Ten. He's awesome. He's so mature. He's so poised also. He's such a good dude, such a good player. So I'm excited to see what he can do in the Big Ten this year. So I like that one.
All right. And what about you? Did you have any that you had in the chamber that you want to at least just like entertain the audience? Like, hey, I was kind of thinking about these.
Sure. Yeah, I had a couple. One of them was around Bennett Sturts. It was the three transfers coming into the Big Ten all number one options from the mid-major level that are number one options in the Big Ten. Yaxel Lendeborg at Michigan, Donovan Dent at UCLA, and Bennett Sturts at Iowa, where I don't think I've ever seen a conference in the short era of the transfer portal have three plus mid-major transfers coming in that are going to be number one options on high-ranked teams in the league. Like, it's very specific, but it's very rare if you really think about it. So three awesome players who could be All-Americans. We love Bennett Sturts. I wrote down the return of the ACC. Obviously, it won't be the back end of the ACC. The bottom half will still suck, but Virginia should be a lot better this year. NC State should be very good this year, and you already had teams at the top. Duke, Louisville is going to be great this year. North Carolina, like if you have five and maybe Virginia Tech and maybe a Syracuse or Notre Dame kind of break out, then maybe the ACC is kind of making a little bit of a comeback. And then I wrote analytical offense trend. So that's more of a very wide spectrum view of things, but teams in the college level have gotten smarter than ever analytically on the court and off the court. And they're also playing faster offense. They're in ridiculous efficiencies on both sides of the ball, really, but especially offensively, where last year the Final Four teams were four of the highest rated analytical teams of all time across the board in the analytical era in the last 20 plus years. But offensively, teams are shooting more threes than ever. They're turning the ball over much less than they have been in the last few years. So I'm interested to see how that affects the teams that are doing it well versus teams that aren't doing it well.
I love that one. Like, the basketball nerd in me, like, oh man, that's cool. Cause I was talking to, you know, a pretty prominent like skills trainer the other day, and I was asking him what he's thought about like the exhibitions and stuff. And one thing that he mentioned to me was like, beyond like the TV and the money and all this other stuff, is that the smart coaches aren't looking to necessarily win those games. They're looking to experiment with lineups because, again, analytically, you know, some of the best coaches in college basketball have been analyzing practices with like plugging in stats, plugging in lineups, and seeing which ones are the most effective. A lot of them are doing the same thing with these exhibitions. Again, like, yeah, sure, you're drawing in money because of revenue and, you know, media streaming and all this other stuff. But now you're getting to step away from like your second units and actually like go your best against somebody else's best and collect even better data, you know? So I do find the analytical side of things that you just mentioned there, Ryan, to be really interesting. But Ryan, dude, that's going to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much, man, for making your No Ceilings NBA draft debut here with me on a Tuesday evening. Please just take a moment, brother, and let the people know what you have going on.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Hopefully it's not the last one. I can't imagine it's gonna be the last one. And
say when
exactly. I'll definitely have to have you and the guys, some of the lads on the Blue Blooded podcast also for some draft perspective of things. But Blue Blooded podcast all over YouTube and podcast platforms. Ryan Hammer on social medias and the podcast account on social medias, but you can find it pretty easily. It's been an honor, truly been an honor tonight. So,
yeah, man. And again, thank you so much for coming on. But as for us at No Ceilings, our preseason draft guide is out, ladies and gentlemen. Go over to NoCeilingsNBA.com. We have 60 players listed alphabetically that you need to know about coming into the start of the draft cycle. The draft cycle has kicked off. College basketball kicks off on November 3rd. Officially, and that means that we're not sleeping around here. We're going to continue to give you all the best coverage that we possibly can, and we thank you all so much. All my No Ceilings Plus subscribers out there, special shout out to you. Everybody watching live tonight on a Tuesday evening, contributing in the chat, we see you, we love you all. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. But for my special guest Ryan Hammer, for the rest of the No Ceilings team at large, and for myself, this has been the No Ceilings NBA Draft Show, and we will catch up with y'all next time. Much love, y'all.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.